God wants every single Christian to be strong. And the strength that we are talking about is not being strong as the world sees it. And the church should also be a place that can attract people to come and come again. Become interested in what your Father is doing. Become interested in the fact that we want to operate Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Are you ready?
Welcome to the Supernatural Word with Samuel B. Sawyer. Expect a positive change in your life through the power of God's Word. He is the head pastor of the Rose of Sharon Cathedral, a branch of Catch the Anointing Center, one of the denominations originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, founded by the prophets Dr. Heward Mills. Today, he speaks about lessons on loyalty. Come, let's enjoy a lovely series. Previously on the Supernatural Word.
The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, I'm paraphrasing. Called the servants, gave unto them talents. He gave one 5, he gave one 2, he gave another 1. And the Bible says, after a long time, that is the interesting thing. Everybody say, long time. If you're a Christian, you must not think that you're a Christian just for a short time. Of course, God can call any of us at any time. Jesus went at 33 and a half. There are people who come to church just to come and be part of the church so that they can marry. And after that, otilo. Christianity is a long distance something. When the master came and he was checking, you see, it looks as if he would not come. When somebody is traveling, the Bible says he took his journey into a far country. It's like, far. Sometimes you think that the day of accountability will never come. But it will come. If you think about it, you will do what you are doing here now. That's why the Bible says we should pass the time of our journey on this earth. The time of our sojourning. We should pass it in fear. Knowing that one day, everybody say one day. When we say lessons on loyalty, lesson number one, loyalty demands full persuasion. Everyone say full persuasion.
Today, we bring you the second episode of this life transforming teaching on lessons on loyalty.
My wife is a human resource consultant. So she has earnings. My wife has been working before you were born. I don't know when you were born. But I think the time you were born, she used to be traveling to Togo to go and do business. Yeah. You can check it out. She used to be going up and down to Togo to go and do business. You see, if I don't say some of these things, you might not know. When I met her, she was on the way to London. She had visas in her passport. She came back from London, going, and then it's like, she had to be smart to know that if I don't marry this man who is proposing to me now and I follow my dream to London, maybe I'll become a London girl, but with no husband, with no child. Now, why am I saying all these things? I'm talking about openness. Everybody say openness. So we are quiet. You are mystery people. You don't want anybody to know what's going on in your life. Bishop said, I don't believe in being a mystery person who nobody can fathom. When people start accusing, it is those around you who must be able to answer confidently and correctly. Yeah, confidently and correctly. W, for example, he knows things that some of you don't know. Yeah. W, he knows things because sometimes he drives me. Once you're driving my wife, and my wife said, this is a house we are building here. Because it is important, do you understand, to be open to a certain level. Not everybody can handle the information you are giving. So that one too is also important. So there must be a balance. A false balance is an abomination to the law. It's an abomination. So be careful. And then openness. So the next time you see somebody, the last time we went to church, they said we should be open. So hello, baby. Hello. I see you. I dig you, Charlie. I won't marry you. How? You just met a person 2 days. You say the bishop said you should be open. In the name of openness. Then you don't understand the same one. Are you being blessed? I'm saying openness breeds full persuasion. Open about finances. Openness about your vision. Let people understand what you are trying to achieve. Let them know why you are so zealous about your vision. The reason why I'm preaching It's because God has called me. I believe God has called me to be a preacher and a teacher of the word. I thought it's a good place to put your hands together for the Lord. I don't know why your clapping is like Chinese students in one. The mask is only on your face. There's no glove on your hand. So let me see you take your right hand and jam it into your left hand. Come on. If that hand belongs to you, I want you to put it together in praise for the Lord. So why are you so eager? Why are you so zealous? Why don't you stand at one place and preach? Why? You, when you are watching, what's your team? Chelsea. When you are watching Chelsea versus what? Messi versus Lona. If you don't take care, you would even kick everybody. Hey. Some of you, when you are watching action movie, Yile. Yile, short way. Eh? What is short way? Short way. Yeah. Some of you, when my wife was telling me that during one of the elections, somebody was watching television and then somebody came on the screen and the person got so agitated and it's like get off the screen, and actually the person broke a finger. Out of their passion, etc. Because they see someone on television, it's like, get off. And then, you are sitting here, you are looking at me. When that your sugar daddy got you, and you are interested in getting the money for the blue shoe, were you not jaying stars? Were you not jumping like a frog? They didn't come to church today. During your honeymoon, I'll come and put a camera behind your window, then we'll see. You are sitting there like that. See, we don't know what you are talking about. The things we have done before. You are more than porno actors. Yeah. Some of the people who are quiet sitting there like that, you know. The things that they have done, the things that they know, the energy levels, openness about your vision, openness. I'm just about to close. I'm talking about lessons on loyalty. The first lesson is that loyalty demands full persuasion. I was going to tell you about Jesus being accused. I'll just read it and we'll close. Well, listen to a couple of stories and then we'll close. I recall one pastor who was committing so many misdeeds that he had to be corrected and even suspended. To preserve this pastor's ministry, Bishop is saying, I kept the details very private, and the congregation even thought his suspension was a vacation. You know, leadership sometimes protects people, not because we are condoning sin, but just to salvage the image of a person so that he can recover in private and then be here for help. I hope you understand what I'm saying. When you're sick and you go to the hospital, they put you, they treat you, put you on a drip, etc., and then they put you in the recovery ward where visitors are limited so that you can become stronger. I hope you understand what I'm saying. We don't come and just release you into the system where you are already weak, your immunity is down, and then you might even have a relapse. So in this case, somebody had a problem. Bishop said he kept quiet about it, but then this is the problem. However, when this rebellious person eventually defected from my ministry, he left, he went around spreading all sorts of stories about me. You see, he had to justify his unexpected defection, his unexpected absence, his unexpected rebellion. Nobody knew that this pastor was someone who was undergoing disciplinary measures because of his multiple wrongdoings. Bishop said, I was now under fire. Am I helping somebody? If you're a leader here, take note of some of the things I'm sharing with you. I'm talking about lessons on loyalty. Lesson number one is loyalty demands full persuasion. Be convinced about who you are with, no matter the stories that is happening. And we are human beings prone to frailties, but that's not what your emphasis should be. And sometimes some of the stories are not even true. Are you listening to me? In this case, when all sorts of questions arose concerning this character, Bishop said, I had a hard time explaining to the people. Ironically, my church members were now questioning my integrity. That was a great lesson to me. Sometimes it is good to explain certain issues as they develop. As they develop. Instead of just waiting for the whole thing to blow up. And then you come and try and give a defense. Openness about what's going on generates confidence. When we're making this ceiling, I spoke about it. When we're building the walls, I spoke about it. Do you understand? Those of you who know what I'm talking about, you understand. Openness about what is going on generates confidence, understanding, and a full assurance, especially in a crisis. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. Oh, yes. Don't forget that. He that is not with me is against me. And I want you, if you forget everything that I've said this morning, this sentence that I'm saying, do not forget it. What am I saying? You cannot be neutral in the crisis. Everybody say after me, I cannot be neutral in a crisis. When there's a crisis, you're a member of this church, you're affiliated to this church, and you are just there aloof. It's like you are just looking on. You are not involved. I have a problem with you. I repeat the words of Jesus in Matthew 12, verse 30. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. Take note of that. Wives, take note of that. Your husband is doing something and you are just there, unmoved, uninvolved. Sometimes they even add salt to the wound by saying, what do you call? Well, they said, one person, well, said, it is you, you want to just go and do it. How many of men want to marry a woman that doesn't show support for you? Neutral. Or how many men you want to marry a woman like that? How many men you want to marry a woman who will support you in the wedding vows is what? In life and in death. To death do us part. A man came home one day, he said, I hear we can marry 16 women. And a friend said, how can you marry 16 women? He said, oh, I went to a wedding today. And I said, we can marry 16. And I said, why 16? He said, oh, 4 poorer, 4 richer, 4 better, 4 worse. 16. 4 poorer, 4 richer, 4 better, 4 worse. Who the boomer is 16? May the Lord have mercy. Some of you understand the joke tomorrow. Listen, you must know about the issue and face the issue. Pastor, why are you saying some of these things? I'm saying something because if you are alive, you will be in a situation either your organization, your family, your church, a group you are in, there will be an issue. And you need to have a stand. You need to make a stand. You need to know where you are. On that day, it will be painful to know that this man or this woman that we thought all along was for us, Asuma, not knowing he was against us. May you not be that person in Jesus' name. When the time comes, somebody has to stand up for you. May that person stand up for you in Jesus' name. I say, when the time comes, when somebody has to speak up for you. Listen, somebody said, every man, no matter who you are, one day you will need somebody to speak for you. No matter who you are, you need somebody either in the bedroom or in the boardroom to speak for you. That's how life is. You need mentors. Somebody who can mention you. Somebody who can suggest you. Somebody who can... Everybody who attains a certain level in life, somebody spoke up for that person one day. Somebody spoke up in defense for that person. Somebody spoke up. Somebody spoke up. Somebody spoke up. Are you going to speak up when the church is being attacked? The church is doing this. The last time I had a message, somebody was saying that the church is meeting. We meet from whatever, 8 to 4 o'clock. It was announced on a radio station. I said, wow. But it took somebody who is fully persuaded, who stood up. In fact, the person who called me to tell me, I said, so when you heard that, what did you do? Because apart from calling me, I'm expecting you to have taken action. Because you know that we don't meet. You know that that is false. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Even if you don't understand, I'm teaching. I don't want to work with anyone who is neutral. Look at someone and say, do not be neutral. Either you believe in what's going on or you are against it. Dear Christian friend, be fully persuaded that you are in a good church where God wants you to be. Be fully persuaded about the pastor in charge. Be fully persuaded. Let me read what they said concerning Jesus and then we close. I know you want to get up, but we are closing in 5 minutes. Jesus was accused. In Luke 23 verse 2, Jesus was accused by many people of misleading our people. That's the 20th century New Testament. In the four Gospels version, he was accused of teaching our people sedition. In the 20th century Testament, another version of the Bible, I have a Bible with 26 versions. He was accused, he was accused of preventing them from paying taxes to the emperor. In the New Testament, in modern English, Jesus was accused of telling them that it is wrong to pay taxes. Can you imagine? All these accuses came on Jesus Christ. In the emphasized New Testament, he was accused of claiming to be an anointed king. In Luke chapter 11 verse 15, Jesus was accused of being able to cast out devils because he was in league with Beelzebub. That's the chief of the evil spirits. This is the New Testament in modern English. Can you imagine all these accusations? So it is no surprise that a pastor is also accused. And of course, some of the accusations are correct or whatever. They are true. I'm saying this because you don't have to say that, pastor, now from today, when we hear any accusation against any man of God, then it is not true. There's also a balance in whatever we are saying. Paul was accused. In Acts 24 verse 5, Paul was accused of being a source of mischief. That's New Testament in modern speech. In the Berkeley version of the New Testament, Paul was accused. Tell somebody Jesus was accused. Say Paul was accused. Paul was accused of being coronavirus. That is what? A veritable plague. They accused, they look at, a minister was looking and say, you are coronavirus. You are COVID-19. Veritable plague. Are you showing it on the screen? Yeah, Berkeley version of the New Testament, a public pest. 20th century New Testament, a disturber of the peace. Wow. Disturber of the peace, one who stirs up disputes, fomenter of discord, ringleader of the sects. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are working with Paul, I believe that you need to be persuaded. Isn't also? Because you hear all these things about him. You hear that he's this. You hear he's that. You hear he's that. Some of you have heard things about me. Yeah. You heard things about me. I know that you have heard. And some of you fabricate stories. But I'm praying that if you are going to be a loyal person, we are going to be open and we are also going to be persuaded. And I'm saying loyalty demands what? Full persuasion. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, stand to your feet. He said, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. You must be persuaded. About 11 years ago or 12 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, I went to a party. And that party, a friend of mine was there. He's a sanguine. Sanguine means he's always happy, laughing. The first I saw him, he was laughing. He was sitting on the floor in the meeting. So somebody asked the wife that, somebody asked the man that, so your wife, for the wife was a medical doctor, everything. He was an engineer or something. But somebody who can laugh and sit. If I sit on the floor, maybe I can't get up. But I was trying to, so he can laugh. The first time I met her, I can see. The first, he laughed. Grown up man. So somebody asks him that, so you, the way you are, that's the way you are. I'm saying loyalty demands full persuasion. I would say full persuasion. That's convinced about something. The way you are, how does your wife, take a microphone, you have to say it in Ghana for me, I don't know the English. How can your wife handle it? And then the man said, he said it in Ghana. I attempted to say it properly. He said, Elia, how do you say marry? He knows he has married, you know. He knows he has married. Eliake. Ekpe Sekelo. He knows she knows that she's living with a madman. I say it. Yeah, whatever it means. The wife, speaking, those of us who don't understand Ga, the wife was asked. The man was asked, how can your wife handle this, your whole drama and everything? Then the man said, my wife knows that she has married a madman. The wife knows. In other words, the wife was fully what? Persuaded that, look, this man that I'm going to marry, I know that Ali, is it not correct? The mind is not there. A dream or bedger. A dream or bedger. Hey! Put your hands together for the Lord. Let's pray. I want you to pray to the Lord wherever you are and ask the Lord. Some of you, as I spoke about, loyalty demands full persuasion in your heart. You know that there are questions that you have not answered. You will not know everything. We cannot know everything. Even you yourself, you don't know everything about you. But like Jesus Christ said, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me is scattering. I want you to pray. Maybe you have been at a point in which you have questions. And you have a lot of questions to develop, you know, doubts. But you know, and you know that the one that you are serving, some of you is even about Christianity, not even about church. You have a half and half attitude. I want you to pray to God for God to give you wisdom and for God to give you grace. The Bible says, if any man lacketh wisdom, he should ask of God, who giveth unto all men and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The Bible says that he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Pray to God in the moment or two and ask the Lord to stabilize you. Ask the Lord to settle your heart. Ask the Lord, say, Lord, help my unbelief. Everybody open your mouth and in a moment or two just pray to the Lord. You have questions on your heart. Pray wherever you are, just for a minute. Everybody, please. Some of you, as I speak right now, you're confused about something. I declare in the name of Jesus, by the finger of God, every spirit of confusion, every spirit that intimidates, afflicts our minds, bring thoughts, confusing thoughts, stress, I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. Some of you, you are thinking of divorcing your spouse. Maria kotoro kabi kabro kotoye kebra katayanda. Shire kabro kotoye kabro kotoyanda. You are just waiting for a good opportunity. You are thinking of the children. You are waiting. It is a demonic thought. Pray to God. Pray to God. Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And a peace of God, which passes all understanding. Everybody just pray. Thoughts on your mind. Some of you, I just heard in the spirit, some of you, there's somebody who has planned a very bad deed against somebody. because he thought that that person had not dealt well with you. So even though you're a Christian, you have developed a retaliation. You have developed plans for revenge, and you were going to execute it. Actually, this week, you were going to set it in motion. You've already started, and you are moving on to the second step. You know, something tells you that it's not good, but it's like, this is what I'll do. You are so offended, and you are so hurt, and you are saying that you want to do justice. But I want you to allow the judge of all to do his work. The Bible says, vengeance is mine.
Thanks for joining us. Today we learned full persuasion comes through openness. We hope you have been blessed by this message. Join us same time next week as Samuel continues this message. Next time on Supernatural Word.
The main thing that is required in servants of God or in ministers of God is not flamboyance. It's not oratory skills. It's not being handsome. It's not being flashy.
Hello, I'd like to invite you to give your life to Jesus. It's probably the most important decision you can ever take in your life. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, there's judgment. But you can change all that. Pray with me. Say after me, close your eyes, say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. You died for me on the cross. I was a sinner going to hell, but you loved me and you gave your life for my sake. Today, I repent. Forgive me. Write my name in the book of life. I'll follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. If you pray this prayer, you're a born-again child. We'd like to know you. We'd like to fellowship with you. Hey, join us. Let's worship God together as we wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Bye.
Thanks for your time. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Use your faith to move all mountains in your way. To contact us for counseling, prayers, and ministry materials by Bishop Dakiwood Mills, such as the Macarius, the Manthano, and the latest edition, Speak the Word, that is Macarius in audio format, and also Samuel Sawyer's book, Winning the Battles of Life, call or message us on +233 248 906 776, or send an email to sambsawyer@gmail.com. Finally, write to us and share your testimony on how this broadcast has been a blessing to you. See you next time and stay blessed.